Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Halloween costumes and Halloween-themed events at public schools following the lead of New Jersey's South Orange Maplewood School District, which announced their new policy this week. The reasons for this ban are obvious. Halloween celebrations violate both core principles of equity and inclusion, since some students do not have the financial resources to compete in the highly cutthroat social competition of Halloween costumery, and since other students have religious objections to Halloween itself. As Superintendent for Access and Equity Kevin Gilbert told NewJersey.com, quote, "Always, Halloween has been one of those subjects in the equity world that districts have to wrestle with," end quote. So true. And if there's one thing McClatchy's second dictum on equity teaches us, it's that if anyone can't afford to do something, then nobody should be allowed to afford it. We may not be able to make their parents all drive the same cars to school, yet, and we may not be able to shield students from the tragic reality that some jobs pay better than others, yet, but for sure as Halloween can prevent those spoiled rich witches from flaunting their wealth in front of the poor unfortunate souls whose only costume recourse is to destroy some bedding and wear a ghost face that insults the practitioners of Native American spiritualism. Also, we gladly embrace the holy doctrine of inclusion by honoring the practice of those otherwise whimsical and fun-loving Jehovah's Witnesses who do not desecrate themselves by participating in Satan's holiday. It's only right to let their abstinence be imposed upon everyone else. If anyone feels left out, then everyone must feel left out. That's what equity is all about, making sure that everyone shares in the misery equally. And of course, we haven't even mentioned the way Halloween mocks the sincere faith of many Wiccans who dress as witches all year round. And let's not ignore the open mockery of sincere Satan worshippers whose deity most certainly does not sport horns, red skin, or a flimsy plastic pitchfork. And don't get me started on the superheroes, which are just thinly disguised vigilantes or sexist embodiments of the patriarchy. Now, okay, some will surely say that wearing Halloween costumes is just a lighthearted and fun way for kids to be creative and entertain each other one day out of the year. Do you think the hallowed halls of public education are the appropriate place for fun and creativity? Education is serious business, mister, and you better not forget it. No more clowning around. No more fairies and merfolk and Barbies and spider-thems, and certainly no more species appropriation of rabbits and cats and cocaine bears. No, ma'am, let everyone be equal and included, especially if that means stomping out every last bit of fun and imagination from our schools. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, basic competency requirements for high school graduation after the Oregon State Board of Education recently suspended those standards through the 2028 school year because students of color, students with disabilities, and students learning English as a second language were all underperforming on the standards. We certainly applaud Oregon's wise, woke-alike leaders for recognizing that if a school system is unable to teach minority and alternately abled students how to read and write and do math, then the solution is to simply pretend they have these skills rather than actually making sure they do. If they're not passing the standards, then the problem is obviously with the standards. And we wholeheartedly endorse the equity enhancement and demarginalization being practiced here. Yes, the soft bigotry of low expectations is magnificent. But Oregon is proposing many other fine ideas as well, such as eliminating A to F grading in favor of equity grading, mostly because traditional grading is ableist and racially insensitive, obviously. They also want to do away with homework, which clearly reinforces the two-parent-centric class oppression so prevalent in our society and perpetuates the so-called Protestant work ethic that we've been so lazily trying to abandon. Oregon may even eliminate grade reductions for truancy, since attendance policies are the sort of thing that well-off white students are privileged enough to be able to prioritize. And they might even stop punishing cheating, since, as we know, cheating is just the rational response of oppressed minority students who cannot achieve top grades without creatively circumventing the racist system of test-taking and individual merit. Faced with a school system that tries to impose the white male educational paradigms of arithmetic and traditional grammar on you, you'd cheat that system too. So down with imperialist competency standards, down with grades, down with attendance policies, and up with thinking outside the honesty. You go, Oregon. Keep championing equity, and just see what you get. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the phenomenal work not being done by the female and non-binary citizens of Iceland, who went on strike for one day this week to protest the persistent gender pay gap in their progressive Wheatopia. I don't like to say utopia because there's no U in equality. Wait, there is a U in equality? Whatever. After a similarly massive nationwide walkout nearly 50 years ago, Iceland passed a law guaranteeing equal rights to women in 1976. They improved on this landmark legislation in 2017 with mandatory equal pay certification that requires all companies above 25 persons to pass rigorous pay scale audits guaranteeing that pay is not dependent on gender. Unfortunately, despite these brilliant laws, Icelandic women are still paid nearly 21% less than Icelandic men. Rather than showing that rules mandating gender-blind wages don't work, we all know this simply means the law is not strong enough and enforcement is far too lax. Now, look, some apologists for the patriarchy will take this opportunity to claim the gender pay gap is an illusion because, you know, if it were true, they say, any rational business owner would be a fool to ever hire a man. These propagandists of sexism will say that if all you have to do to cut costs by 21% without losing productivity is to hire women, then female-centric companies should be dominating male-centric or balanced ones in the marketplace, but they're not. In response, we say that, look, the whole purpose of modern social science is to disprove exactly that kind of ludicrous common-sense thinking. Are we really to believe the primitive reasonings of ordinary business owners over the sophisticated conclusions of government-funded research designed to reinforce our anti-gender ideology? Social science proves that social science is right. That's why social scientists don't bother going into things like, you know, business to implement their conclusions. Duh. And yes, we realize there is a little irony in women proving they're just as valuable as men by walking off the job and doing nothing all day. But maybe a good solid dose of irony is just what the patriarchy needs right now. And if the sistren and the otherin of Iceland can't earn as much as their brethren simply by producing and performing, then by all means, hold their feet to the fire with unenforceable laws and strident demonstrations of principle. That's the sort of thing that always works well historically. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please remember Josefina Josephson, who is still homebound this week after discovering that she inadvertently consumed some non-ethically sourced pimentos in her vegan imitation bologna loaf 2 months ago. Even though she tasted the haunting flavor of oppression in her sandwich, in a moment of weakness, she continued eating it and even realized she enjoyed the taste. The guilt has been crushing ever since, and we hope for her safe return to the congregation of the faithful. Meanwhile, we appreciate your support in our ongoing and powerful pimento loaf boycott. This week's post-service team-building exercise will involve a deep dive into respect. In groups of three, you will practice first, asking each other if you have permission to ask for their preferred pronouns. Second, if you have permission to give them a non-gendered compliment on something other than their physical appearance. And third, if you have permission to offer an apology to them for something about which you have experienced privilege in our society. Be sure to finish with asking permission to affirm each other with a mild non-sexual pat on the back or, if you're feeling bold, a brief hug.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.